Hello, 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 and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey, girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing all right. A little bit under the weather, so if it sounds like Tabby has a guest speaker today of the male or penis variety, it's just me, ladies and gentlemen.
You just sound like a groggy old man, that's all.
Yeah, I feel like shit. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no. You need to take some vitamin C and go to sleep.
If that was just an option, right? Like, that's what I would like to do.
Right. But, you know, you never get that chance.
Yeah. Well, most of the time. I mean, if you ask my family, I'm normally on my backside, so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you were voted the most lazy person in your house.
Yeah, for sure. So, which I still stand by 100%. Hey, so any housekeeping, anything going on?
Other than we need everyone to subscribe to Apple and Google Play, and we also need you to rate and review us as well, and then sign up to Patreon. It's patreon.com/notasafespacepodcast. You go there. It's $1 a month. Super cheap. A lot cheaper than most of the apps you guys are downloading on your phones. And what you get from that is you get the next week's episode in advance. So go ahead and sign up for it. And all the proceeds go back to getting us better equipment and helping us create better content for all of our listeners.
Sounds good. So go on and do that. Make sure you guys are especially rate and reviewing us on your podcast app. That helps out our podcast and our standing within the platform a lot. That's the word I'll use.
A lot. There you go. A lot.
That's a fancy fucking word I could come up with.
I think you meant extremely.
Yeah, I think so too. Which, by the way, has become a game now. How we can fuck up words.
Has it really? Who created this game?
Well, I've gotten it from a few different listeners that will, like, message me the correct word. Or Amaris told me the word we were looking for last week was polyamorous, the type of person that will marry multiple or have – it's the new type. And she said she was, like, screaming it at us and then was like, oh, yeah, they can't hear me. So my sister said it's her new favorite game, too, of, like, trying to figure out – where we say it, and I was like, okay, well, great.
Nice. Well, they need to post it on all our sites.
Yeah, seriously, guys, let's hear it. I was never a stellar English student, so it's not going to improve. I mean, I've given up at this point, you guys.
Pretty much. My husband has literally created and calls them Tabbyisms. There's no hope.
Yeah, are you bad at, like, sayings, too, of, like yes. two birds in a something equals a this?
Yes. So let me tell you a quick story. We were at the grocery store, and I told my husband, I was like, don't you push the bear. And he's like, what? I was like, don't you dare push the bear. I will come at you. Don't you dare push the bear. And everybody around me is laughing because we're in the grocery line. And they go, honey, I think you mean don't poke the bear.
Yes, exactly.
And I was hell bent. I was like, no, it's fucking don't push the bear.
No, it's poke the bear.
Yeah.
But I do the same thing. And sometimes, like, I'll start to say one and then just stop. And I did that this week, and the people I was with just completed my sentence, and I was like, yeah, that's where I was headed. I just didn't know how to get there.
That's exactly. You knew exactly what I meant. It's all good.
Right. I'm glad you guys are listening. So today is this week is the start of Thanksgiving. Most of us will be off of work at the end of the week, which is nice. My family will be traveling to New York City.
Yay!
Which is awesome. I'm probably not going to survive. I went up to Charlotte for a couple of days this week and had goosebumps for 48 hours. Literally think that my blood circulation slows down, my heart rate stops, my whole body is cold. We are going to die.
Yeah, no, you're not. You'll manage. You'll manage New York. You'll be okay.
We'll see about that. So this week on our episode, I thought we would talk about Thanksgiving and being thankful and all the great things. This week always for me is probably one of my favorites. I love the quietness of Thanksgiving. I love the gratitude of Thanksgiving.
Okay, but where do you get the quietness? Because there's nothing quiet about Thanksgiving in my house.
For me, I think it's just all of us being together. Like I love, and said it a million times, that when my whole family is home, my family of four, and just being together, all of us are going to be off of work. There's no school, and we get how many of their days. And it's not quiet by any means, but there's no outside. There's nothing we have to do than just be with one another.
Yes, that is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's my favorite. And so let's start off. I wanted to tell you, so last night, this in most everything we should be talking about is yummy feelings this week. But Ethan, we all had dinner last night, and Ethan recommended this game. So the four of us are sitting around the table, and he said, let's say the worst thing about each person at the table, and we all get one shot. And so, like, if we did Ethan, Lorelai, Nate, and I would say it.
Okay.
And then we would go to the next person. And the intent wasn't to hurt anybody's feelings, but just to say what the thing that drives us the craziest about one another is, right?
Okay.
And so we did that, which was fine and not very impactful, but still good to hear, because I believe in self-growth. And as scared as I think my family is to say shit to me, like, I want to hear it. I want to hear how I can be a better mom, a better wife, a better friend. So they said I was pushy.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah,
I mean, they have also called you lazy, too.
Well, so this is the thing, though. You know, Nate said he, going to, like, the other side of this game was the next, after we did that, we had to go around and say the best thing about each one of us. And what Nate gave me credit for and said is that he was thankful that I run this house and keep everything with, and he pointed at our kids, these two assholes, in line, and their schedules and our lives. And that if I wasn't here, that it would be a mess. And then I said, you know, I received that, and I just want you guys to remember that when you call me fucking lazy again, because what I truly am is an excellent delegator, a multitasker, and everything else that my resume says. So we all cried and got emotional. Like, it was nice to see. You think that an 18-year-old kid is just this, you know, a typical teenager with no feelings, but like he genuinely loves his father and he is thankful for his father and he loves me. And like for him just to say like what he was thankful for me, like I've started bawling, and it doesn't help that I have a cold, so all the tears come out very easily and the snot and everything else. But it was like, he just said, you're my mama and that I can come to you and I can talk to you about anything and you're always there for me. And that means a lot to me that we have a relationship that he feels like he can lean on me.
Right.
You always worry, like, are you doing this right? Have you screwed this person up? It all goes beyond baby showers and shit when all of a sudden you have a grown up you're now responsible for, you know?
Right. When that baby turns into like a real grown human and now an adult, and it's a bit different.
Yeah. And so then we got done. Ethan was like, let's get a group hug. And so we all got up from the table and hugged one another. And poor Ethan's head was so high above us. He was like, I don't even feel like I'm a part of this hug. So we had to push his head down into the circle. But just, you know, that quietness of this moment is, to me, what Thanksgiving is about.
Right. I love it.
Yeah, it was great. And I would suggest anybody else to do that with their family is, you know, get your report card out. Are you guys performing well as a family? Are you performing well in your role in that family? And if not, improve it, right? I mean, that's how, that's where it comes from. So that was our night last night. I challenged you to write down the top five things you're thankful for. And I did the same. So let's hear it.
So Tabby's horrible with homework.
Oh my God.
You love me. Remember, you love me. So the top five things that I would be thankful for off the top of my head is, first thing I am very thankful for is Dion. That man is my rock and I love him to pieces. I could not imagine my life without him. He keeps me together when I get a little neurotic. And he's my best friend. So I am so thankful for him because he's so supportive in everything that I do.
I love that.
I'm thankful for my family because, again, my family and my friends are very supportive. I love them to pieces. And then the other thing I'm actually thankful for is my health. So my health has gotten better over the last couple of weeks. Most people don't know this, but I have hypothyroidism, which is an autoimmune disease, and when it gets off, it really gets off, and it affects a lot of your parts of your body and your mental state. So I'm very, very thankful that my health is together.
Yeah, awesome. That's great news.
It is. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for you, Sabrina.
Aw, I made the list.
You did make the list. You know why I'm thankful for you?
Why?
Because I'm thankful for you in this podcast because we've gotten closer and I've got to learn the real Sabrina and I love you. And you also pulled me out of my shell with this podcast and you challenge me all the time. You're kind of like my female version of Dion.
I am pushy, according to my family. So.
Yes, but pushy isn't necessarily a negative trait when the pushing is to push you into a really good direction.
Yeah, just to challenge yourself, right? And I think true growth comes from when you make yourself the most uncomfortable.
Right.
Which is what we've both done over the last few months, right? Is
oh, yes.
We've made ourselves very uncomfortable and becoming better people because of it.
Right, exactly.
It's been awesome to watch it from my side, watching you and just quick movement over the last few months.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Because you know me, I don't like to be uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, you motherfucker, why are we? Okay, I'm still smiling.
You got one more, girl.
I got one more?
Yep.
Can I come back to it?
Sure.
I got my list. Okay, now you tell me yours.
All right. So, of course, the top of my list is Nate. Very similar to how you feel about Dion. I think, you know, when you're blessed in this life to meet the person you were meant to be with, it's irreplaceable. Or, you know, there's I've never, ever been loved by anybody in my life the way that that man loves me. And I am not worthy of him at all. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very thankful for him. My children, of course, are number two. And they're getting put in there equally because I don't want to hear anybody say that they're a favorite because they're obnoxious. But, you know, my kids allow us to screw up, which I love. I think that's one of the best qualities of our children is that you can read as many books and do all you want, but nobody knows how to be a parent. And they've really allowed us to fuck up and get back on track. And they're just great kids all around.
Kids are really great teachers. You know, I'm sure Ethan and Lorelai has taught you patience.
Say that part again, because you just broke up a little bit.
Okay, I was saying that your kids are great teachers.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they teach you patience and other things that you wouldn't have to relearn how to be if they weren't there.
You know what they also are mirrors, right? Is that my sister and I were talking yesterday about the way that we are and these emotional, like, you know, if you're not comfortable putting yourself out there and not comfortable doing things, your children pick up those traits too. And now you see yourself in your reflection and you're going, oh, well, they're like that because of me. So now I have to better myself so I can be better for them.
Right.
And they're great about that. Number three is Charlene, my sister, our mm-hmm. number one fan, tied with Dion. She is my Irish twin. We're less than a year apart and has been my rock for the last 38 years. Regardless, I think we've been, I mean, of course, we were close in high school and I mean, everything. She has literally been my number one supporter, my number mm-hmm. one razzer. I mean, she'll fucking ride my ass like there's no tomorrow, but she's there no matter what. And I'm very thankful for her. Number four is just peace. Peace in my own head and allowing space in my head to have time and quietness and everything else that comes with this crazy life. Mm-hmm. And number five is opportunity for more that, you know, that there's the possibilities are endless. Look what we're doing here together. You know,
right.
Our future is limitless and is filled with opportunity, and understanding that the way that I feel today doesn't determine the rest of my week, my month, my year. It's all open. The world is literally an
oyster.
And we could do what we want, which is great.
And I love that.
That is my list from somebody who did her homework.
Yay. Sabrina actually did her homework.
I know.
And you know, the funny part is I'm normally the one, the geek in school that would do my homework all extra early.
Yeah
now. I do have to say one other thing, though. I am very blessed for Dion's mother.
Oh, yeah.
So without her, we would not have moved to our beautiful property.
Mm-hmm.
Without her, we wouldn't be able to maintain it. And without her, I wouldn't be able to sit here and have a podcast with you either.
Right.
You know, so I am very thankful for her.
You know what? I, on the part of us being thankful to particular people is something else that I wanted to talk about, because throughout the year, do you show your gratitude to people throughout the year and tell them, like, hey, by the way, I'm thankful for your friendship?
I don't know if I do it in that particular way, but I think I show it in other ways. Uh-huh. So I'm the type of friend, as you know, if something's wrong, I'm calling you, or I'm like, what's going on? What do we need to do? Right. You know, you've had situations where you've put something on Facebook and I was like, that's weird. And then I just picked up the phone and I called you. Right.
Right.
You know, so I guess that's the way I show my gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think, so I have this article where they talk a little bit about how the, and this is more just of the Brits. This is from themirror.com or themirror.uk, whatever, Britain publication. But that they believe that the meaningful thank yous are dying out in favor of a quick text. And which I do agree with. But when it comes to verbally thanking people,
mm-hmm.
over the last year, I've tried to get better about it. Now, I've only truly done it a handful of times of where I've either taken out a note card and written a note to a friend and say, hey, by the way, I'm just thankful for you. I'm thankful for the things that we're doing together, and just left it on their door and that was it. Or mm-hmm. sent a text to someone just saying, you know, I'm glad that you're in our life. I'm glad that you're here. Because we forget to say it. We might feel it, but I want people to know, and really pushing myself to say, hey, nobody's going to know how much you mean to me without me just saying it. Like, just say it.
Yeah.
And even though it's weird where it's like, might catch somebody off guard of, Oh, well, thank you. But it means a lot.
It does.
And
we don't do that anymore. You know how at Christmas or birthdays, we'd always write out thank you cards. And we don't do that anymore.
So that's what this article goes in and starts talking about, that that a shocking number of Brits believe it's no longer necessary to show gratitude, and that a text message is okay of just showing that. So I know you're really good at that. You're really good at sending thank you cards and still writing things out and mailing it. Because I've received thank you cards from you. I've received, you know, condolences from you, congratulations from you. Like, mm-hmm. you're really good about putting it in the mail. Is that something that you were raised to do?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's something that it was pounded in my head as a child. So it's very much ingrained in me. You know, someone passes, you're sending flowers or a card. If, you know, someone is sick and if they're local, you call them up, see if they need anything, you go bring them something, you know, you just take care of your community. Christmas cards were necessary. I mean, how my mom still used to send out Thanksgiving cards. She used to send out Valentine's Day cards. She would even send anniversary cards. And I'm like, whoa, I'm like, I can't keep up.
Right.
But for the most part, I mean, I had a lady that I had known less than 3 months in the social group crew, and her husband had a heart attack. And the first thing I did was I sent her a card.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It really matters, you know, as much as it's still important, and it's not, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with just sending a text, but just when I received the card in the mail from you when my dad passed away, it just kind of almost takes you back. Like,
right.
Oh, wow. Like it is difficult to get a fucking stamp these days and go to the mailbox and all this stuff. And so that you took out that time to do that meant so much.
Mm. Well, good. And the other thing about sending cards that a lot of people forget is that when you get a card in the mail, you normally open your mail towards the end of the day when the day is winding down. So when you get that condolence card, you're in the quiet of the moment and you can actually appreciate it, where a text may come in the middle of the day while you're busy and running around with a chicken with your head cut off, and you don't get to appreciate that text per se if it was a card.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I can remember the moment, and you're right, it comes at the end of the day where it might have been a difficult day, and it means a lot to the person who received it. And right. I was raised to send out thank you cards and to mail cards. And my stepmother at Christmas would have her notepad and she'd write everything down. Mm-hmm. And then they would give us a certain amount of days to turn in our thank you cards to her, and she would get them all out. I was really, really good about it with Ethan and made Ethan do it. And then got off of it when technology came out. And then we were just calling them and saying thank you, or taking pictures of them with it and saying thank you. This year, I'm going to challenge myself to make the list, sit down, and start ingraining that thank you card tradition to my children. Because if not, it's going to die out, right? I mean, they are a technology world.
And you did a really great job with Ethan's graduation, because he sent out thank you cards. And when I got my thank you card, I was just like, oh, that's so awesome. And it means a lot. And so you also know I volunteer as the facility advisor for my sorority at the local chapter here. And we instill in the young ladies that when someone comes in and they help you, you send a thank you card. So in the mail, I got a card. It was one card, but it was signed by the entire chapter. And it was so sweet.
Right. And I would say, you know, that's talking about thank you cards and Ethan's graduation thank you cards. Like, this is the funny thing is that, like, there's an etiquette to thank you cards, right? And and what should be proper and what should be okay. Did I share this story with you?
No, I don't think so.
So, same thing. Ethan's graduation happened, and I, as cards and announcements and all of that started coming in, I kept track of what was coming in, right? And who he was going to owe a thank you card to. He had his party. He graduated. I handed him the list and handed him the envelopes and said, all right, this is on you. You need to write, address, do all of this. He had to get the addresses for everybody and all of that. So technically, I think the etiquette, a true etiquette form of a thank you card is 30 days after a birthday or after you receive the gift, right?
Correct.
I'm at dinner with a friend who looks at me and says, by the way, where's my thank you card?
You did tell me this story. Oh my gosh.
And we won't mention any names, no, but I was like, excuse me? And she was like, where's my thank you card from Ethan? I was extremely generous.
No, you weren't. No, no.
And
your generosity
was like, well,
just became null and void.
I was like, well, he's working on them, but he's working on them. I mean, this is a kid that's never mailed a letter before in his life. He's got to go to the post office. He's got to figure all of this out, but he's working on it. Oh, well, because I think etiquette says, this is what she says to me. I think etiquette says about 2 weeks. And I was like, no, actually it says 30 days and the party was on such and such date and your transfer came on such and such date, but don't worry. He's working on it.
Right.
I was so fucking mad.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I was so fucking rude. I didn't say anything that day, but when I woke up the next day, I wanted to say, you want to talk about fucking etiquette? What about what you just said to me?
Right. Because there was nothing appropriate about what you just said at a lunch date.
At all. First of all, you give to give, not to respect to receive something.
Exactly.
So for you to be counting down on your fucking watch, I'm a little petty, and I held on to that thank you card for an extra 2 fucking weeks on purpose because it pissed me off. How dare you?
Right. Especially when Ethan is 18 and she should understand that it's going to take him a hot minute because the kid didn't know where the hell to put the stamp.
Right. Right. He used the outside label. The barcode is a stamp on one of them. Like,
no.
I just, when I heard that, I could not. I was fucking livid.
And part of it was because, like, Mama Bear was coming out. Because she's pretty much attacking your kid.
It is. And see, like, my kids are, and I am not scared of criticism at all. We literally sat around each other last night and bashed one another. However, you're going to come fucking sideways like that over, especially when you want to talk about fucking etiquette and your kid walks into a house and says hi to no one.
Yep, pretty much. Or they walk in to a house and say no one.
Said hi to no one. You want to talk? Oh my God. I'm starting to sweat. I thought it was just me until later on, because there were other people around that they brought it up to me and was like, what did you think? And I was like, okay, thank you. Right. I'm glad I wasn't the only one that thought that was fucking crazy.
No, that was. That was rude and disrespectful.
I was fucking mad.
And
so
this particular person is rude and disrespectful on a lot of different occasions.
And that's the thing. Like, you brought up the word etiquette to me.
You better know what that fucking word means.
Right. And you better make sure you're walking a straight fucking line.
Because you don't. Apparently she doesn't understand what it means.
I'm telling you.
I can put her through some etiquette classes. I can tell you what.
Right. And the only thing I could do was hold on to that fucking thank you card for a little while.
I wouldn't have sent it out.
I held on to it a little extra. She was the last person to receive that thank you card, and that was intentional. Like, I...
Oh, no, you know what you could have done? And this is just the bitch in me. I'd send her a thank you card in pieces.
That's a little extreme. I just couldn't believe that. Like, if you... I agree that a thank you card was necessary, but the way that you, like, I could never imagine saying to somebody at, like, say for a wedding or a birthday, or are you working on your thank you cards? Because I haven't received it yet. I just couldn't.
No,
fuck does that?
Nobody does that. You can't do that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's a little fucking insane for me. So this article goes on to say, we'll move on from that, because I could fucking talk about that forever. Fucking livid. So, and...
What?
And, girl, when she received the thank you card...
Yeah?
She took a fucking picture of it and sent it to me. Oh, look, I got it.
Well, no fucking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, good job.
I didn't even respond. Asshole.
You should have been like, why didn't you send me a letter?
Yeah, send me a thank you card for my thank you card. Yeah. Or how about this? How about the welcome home basket I left on your front door that I didn't get a thank you card for? That's about 4 years past due. No, I'm kidding. All right. I'm real fired up. I can tell.
But you should have sent her. You should text her. But like, where's my thank you card for this?
Or, even better, her kid's birthday present.
No thank you card?
No, I definitely bought her a birthday present. Didn't get a fuck you a thank you card for that.
Oh,
I guess I'll
you know
hold my
what?
Breath.
If we're I got a Christmas gift. I gave her a Christmas gift 1 year, and I never got a thank you card.
See? That's what I'm saying. Look, glass houses don't throw fucking stones.
Nope, exactly.
You shouldn't. All right. So...
Okay, new topic, Sabrina, new
right.
topic.
So the Brits go on to say, this is what they say, as we become busier, living more of our lives online, we have lost focus on ensuring those around us know how important they are to us, which I completely agree with. And
yes.
That's why I've really, really tried over this last year to say, like, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful to you. I really like spending time with you, because I think that people assume that they know,
mm-hmm.
but it's also important just to say, like, hey, thank you.
Right.
Thank you for your time.
Yep. Exactly.
So I would like to set a challenge to our listeners and say that I challenge our listeners from now until the end of the year to mail two cards to two people just to say thank you for this past year. I enjoyed the weekend we spent together. It did this for me. Thank
right.
you.
And
or
one of those cards
this.
Could be, you can put it in one of your Christmas cards as long as you are saying thank you to them for something.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, let's be honest. I know you guys are going to want to send one of those two to us because, you know, we've kind of changed your guys' lives the last 3 months. But
because
we're
kind of fucking awesome.
Yeah, but we're going to let you off the hook for that. So two individual people that is not a safe space podcast.
Exactly.
Because we know how thankful you guys to us because we're fucking awesome. And let's make sure to get those out within the 30 days, guys. So I don't have to remind you that the etiquette is you need
30.
To get it out in 30 fucking days.
Exactly.
I can't believe that.
But well, wait, right. It's not 30 days if it's random. It's
I
only
know.
30 days if you get a gift or an event.
I know. Asshole. Such an asshole. Who does that?
I know. Okay, Sabrina, you gotta move on, girl.
I know.
You can do it.
I know. So we're gonna move on by saying, let's talk about little acts of kindness. So this is something that starts to come up. After Thanksgiving, we're in Christmas, right? And so people
mm-hmm.
start to do random acts of kindness. Do you get involved in that at all during the Christmas season or throughout the year? Or I know you guys are pretty active when it comes to, underprivileged children and things
yes.
like that. Every day of your lives.
So during the Christmas season, I pretty much donate my house. This is pretty much how it comes down. After Thanksgiving, so Pam runs a, or used to, because she just recently retired, a group home for abused children. Mm-hmm. And what happens is around Christmas time, there are a lot of donations from churches and businesses and other large establishments. And what happens is they all donate gifts and sort of things, right? And what we do is we take all these gifts in and we have to go through them, make sure they are appropriate, resort them, and then rewrap them for the children. And then we take whatever isn't used for the Christmas gifts and keep it for, you know, their birthdays and Easter and other little holidays that nobody thinks about the kids. Because what's really sad is during Christmas, everybody wants to donate. Everybody wants to give. It's always about Christmas, but nobody thinks about the kid in the middle of the year who needs socks or who needs a new pair of pants. Right. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because he decided to go through puberty and he just shot up.
Right.
Right. And we're talking 30 plus children.
Mm-hmm.
So, we go through this. It's about a 2 month process that we go through. Yeah. So you know how big the Florida room is. It takes up the Florida room, the living room, and two of my spare bedrooms, and then in the garage.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It is quite the process, and but we love it. We have such a great time because, you know, it's a lot of work. It is, but getting and making sure the kids have Christmas is the biggest thing. And then we spend Christmas Eve with the kids, which is really awesome. I love it. And it's just, it's like I said, it's a great feeling. And then we do stuff with them throughout the year. And Pam also helps with the Santa run that you guys went to last year.
Oh yeah, that was fun. Freezing cold, but fun.
Yes.
I mean, I think my pants ripped open. My Santa pants ripped open. My crotch was exposed. Thankfully, I was wearing clothes under mine. Doreen was not.
No, she didn't.
Yeah, but she didn't get any rippage, but I did.
No. Why was she naked underneath?
Because she was so hot. She was burning up.
Those things are reused every year, and I'm sure they're dry cleaned.
No, they're not. No, it's you keep the suit.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. So on this run that Tabby's talking about, you sign. It's called like Run with Santa's or the
Santa.
It's a
5K for Santa.
Yeah, and they give you a full Santa suit to run in, and I don't do well with the cold, so I just put it right over my clothes. But Doe was runs super hot, so she went butt naked under that thing, so she couldn't unlayer where I could. And thank goodness I wore clothes underneath it, because the moment I, like, squatted down, my crotch ripped open.
Yeah. I just can't imagine all that itchy material, like, on you. Ugh.
Right, because it's not, like, the highest quality, since obviously they're just giving it to people just to wear and then toss out. But, yeah, she was butt naked under that thing. So, thankfully, she didn't have a wardrobe malfunction.
No, that's good, because I'm sure there would have been some scarred children.
Right, and you remember you were supposed to come down, and you didn't come down, right?
I got bronchitis.
Yeah, and so your husband had a ladies' night with us.
Yes, he did.
Right.
That was funny. I love the videos.
Oh yeah, I forgot all about that. So imagine Doe wasn't there, but it was Jen, Dion, and I coming home from drinking down in, well, I wasn't drinking, but they were in downtown St. Augustine. And having a great time. And we got back to the hotel. There was this hallway that looked like a creepy Halloween thing.
It did.
And so then, like, Jen and Dion ran down there and started going, and they got on a luggage cart and was pushed. And I was recording it. And It was so much fun. It was, yes. We had a lot of fun. And then Dion had like this crazy murder porn, a hot tub in his room that looked like it'd be in a murder scene or movie porn or something like that. Like, you don't know what that room was used for. It was a fun night, but he got stuck with us on ladies' night.
And that's awesome because, you know, he's good at ladies' nights.
So we do an advent calendar every year, and mm-hmm. I try to make sure that within those activities counting down towards Christmas that we are doing things for others in our community. So last year we like rang the bell for the Salvation Army. We used to collect our kids' old toys, or for a few years when Ethan was younger, we would have a Christmas party and then have everybody bring toys as like a favor. And then Ethan would go and donate it to the local children's home. So we're always trying to do something like that. Now, I'll tell you this week, like, I'm having big life moments here, guys. Like, big, big Sabrina 10.0 moments. Uh-oh. Because I was down in Fort Lauderdale the other day. I'll tell you, just as a matter of safety, I hardly ever give homeless people money. And that's, one, because I never have cash on me. Two, because I worry about my own safety of... Are they mentally ill? Are they going to attack me? So I never do it, which I don't know if it's good or bad, but I've never done it. But I was walking into Publix and there was a lady on the side of Publix. She wasn't pandering for anything. She wasn't asking for anything. She was tucked away in a corner with a shopping cart full of her house, basically.
Right.
Her hair was about this big. Blonde, so, and she was super tan, and to me I was like, oh man, she looks like I would if I was homeless. Like, that's what I would look like. My hair is going to be super fucking big, and it's just going to be a mess. And so when I walked in, I was just running in to grab my monsters, and I just grabbed a couple boxes of protein bars in a couple bottles of water and had the cashier bag them up and walked up to the lady and just stuck it on the bench next to her and said, you know, these are for you. Have a good day. And she smiled really big. She had two solid teeth in her mouth. Very strong front tooth, though. That tooth was not going anywhere.
No, she wasn't.
But just said, here, and walked away. And my husband was like, I can't believe you did that. And I was like, I just felt bad. Like, I could see myself in her. Like, she looked like what I could be like if a couple bad steps and you become homeless. So I'm becoming a better person, motherfuckers. I definitely am.
Yeah, you are. And you even hugged your family. I'm very proud of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big group hug. That was nice.
Yep. Yeah. I've never given. Okay. No, I can't say that. I have. I don't like to give like to homeless people on the street, especially if I'm by myself, for the same reasons, you know, you explained. You know, you don't know if they're going to attack you. You know, you give them money and you're extending your hand and that's an open for them to grab you. And you don't know what the situation is. So Dion and I were going into Walmart. It was the day after Easter. And this lady comes up to us with her young children, and she has a metal rod leg, and says...
She had a peg leg?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so she says, you know, we got kicked out of our house. We only need $13 more to get a hotel room. The kids didn't have any Easter, da-da-da-da. So... We go, well, we don't have any cash. We'll get you something on the way back. She's like, well, I don't know if, you know, can wait. I was like, well, you're out here. We'll give it to you. So we went inside. We got her $40. And we made three different Easter baskets for the kids. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Yeah.
So that is nice. And then we saw her. She got into a car with the man that was driving. And then we're like, oh, did we just get swindled? And then I go, okay, well, maybe not, right? Because nobody wants to be approached by a man. especially if a woman's around, right?
Right.
So we're like, okay. But I said, in the end, we did the right thing. Well,
right.
Later on, our local community page had warned us, had mentioned her with a picture of her using the kids. She has a place, like, out on there. She receives disability, and she's just panhandling.
Right.
And so I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, and then I was out downtown, and I was outside on a phone call, and she saw me, and she was walking around with her kids, and I gave her this look of, don't you come over here. You need to go home, because I know what you're doing.
Right.
And she's lucky I was on the phone. And she's like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, because that is a concern, right? Because a lot of people do it for a living.
Yes. And it's, you know, and look, I understand hard times and everything, but if you're doing this for a living and you're not paying taxes and then you're getting benefits from the system from people who are paying taxes.
Right. Yeah. And I really do. I think, yeah. And you have, so that, you know, keeps people from wanting to help, right? Because you don't know if they're like that person. I remember in high school, my friend and I gave money to a lady that was at a Wendy's because she said that she was running out of, or she had run out of gas, or it was a guy. Well, then we saw the motherfucker get in his car and drive off. Like he was a complete liar.
Exactly. And so, you know, and I can't stand it. Dion told me a story about when Colton was younger, Colton was giving a homeless man money inside the car. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was giving him a $5 bill, but then he had saw the $20 bill and snatched it out of Colton's hand. And Colton's probably about Lorelai's age.
I wish right? the motherfucker would. Yeah.
You know what Dion did?
What?
Dion parked the car, jumped over the hood, and chased after him.
Good for him.
He goes, you're not going to fucking rip money out of my kid's hand who's here doing, being not, you know, helpful to you, and you're going to do this? No, right. No.
Right. Yeah. I remember as a kid that this guy came up to us, or he was asking for money, and my dad said, look, I'm not going to give you money, but this is my home address. Right. And next weekend, I need help. I will pay you to work at our house. Mm-hmm. Look forward to seeing you. Never saw the guy.
No, because they don't want to work. Not all of them. Not all of them. Let's be honest, okay? But there's a good portion of them that just want you to hand them money.
Right. And I think, you know, that's why I think I was touched by this lady, is that she wasn't pandering for it. She wasn't asking for anything. She was just sitting in the corner trying to get away from the heat. Mm-hmm. Her back was to everybody. So, you know, that, and I just felt uncomfortable walking past her like she was invisible, because right. I saw her and have plenty to give, even if it's just a few protein bars. Now, I did, before I bought it, I was like, what if she has a peanut allergy? Is that a thing? Do homeless people have peanut allergies? And this is what I'm doing in my mind. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Just buy the fucking protein bar, Sabrina.
I think she would be quite happy with the pork, you know, right. The peanuts.
Do they have peanut allergies?
Well, I would assume if anybody can have a peanut allergy, just because you're homeless doesn't exclude you from an allergy.
Right. So that means from now on, when they ask for canned goods, are they going to restrict us to like peanut free?
No. We're going to stop right there, because we're not going to create an extra political correctness bullshit.
I know. Could you imagine, like, oh, ma'am, we're only taking name brand donations. Fuck you. Take my greater value macaroni and cheese, or stick it up your ass.
Pretty much. Beggars can't be choosy.
Right. And I am sometimes that jerk that when it comes to food donations, that I pull the shit out of my pantry that I don't want. And so then it's the most random stuff ever, like a can of lima beans or something. Or,
hey, you know, this. Hey, it's better than you throwing it away.
Yeah, that's true. Or just sitting in my pantry waiting for the zombie apocalypse to happen.
Pretty much. Or expiring and then having to throw it away anyways.
Right. I've never looked on an expiration date in anything in my pantry.
Really? No. Oh, good God. Okay, no, when I go in from now on, I'm checking the fucking expiration date.
You might want to. I've never looked at that ever. Yeah. I only check the expiration date on my milk. That's the only thing I look
at. That's it?
Yeah. Look, I've survived.
Have you?
Right.
Have you?
And Ethan and I think our immune systems are a lot stronger than everybody else's because we are filthy little animals. So
you guys are filthy little animals.
Right.
Eating what that nasty slop.
I know. What do you think about people posting their act or their random acts of kindness on Facebook or social media?
That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wanting to do an act of kindness, you should not be expecting any type of recognition out of it.
Right. So this is where I would say that I don't mind them posting it because I think that it encourages other people to do it. So like I have friends that do like beach cleanups or volunteers at dog shelters or even like what we do for our advent calendar, go and ring the bell. One year we brought our local fire station spaghetti and cookies for dinner. And because when we posted about the bell ringing, a neighbor reached out to me across the street and said, "Hey, how do I do that? I've got some spare time this winter. I'm all in." And so then he did it.
Okay, right.
So that's the part where I feel like more than somebody posting like their brand new car or their brand new watch or whatever, which I've been that asshole to do that.
Right.
I don't mind seeing the acts of kindness or charity because I feel like it encourages people to do the same.
Well, I think it depends on the context, right?
Right.
So if you're posting an event like, "Hey, this day I'm ringing the bell for Salvation Army. If you're interested, this is the information," you know, that sort of thing. I think that's a great idea. But doing a selfie of, "Oh, hey, look at me, I'm ringing the bell. I'm so fucking awesome. I want 150,000 likes on this photo." Well, then you're just an arrogant bitch.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the thing is you can't tell what somebody's intent is. But if the outcome is, you know, one layer of I'm just doing this for a selfie and so people can see how wonderful I am, but it affected one person to go and volunteer, then fine, I'm okay with that. You got to live with your demons of why you're actually posting this, you know?
Right. And most of the time you can tell if you read what they wrote.
I think so too, is that the intent of, "Well, look how great..." There, you can read somebody's statement of, "Aren't we great?"
No.
Yeah, you know, look how great we are.
Yeah.
And the bell ringing thing was very strange to me. Have you ever done anything like that?
No. Well, you mean like solicitation for money or, I mean...
No, like an actual bell ringer. Like, you know, there's people in front...
No.
So that's what we did was like... ring the bell. The people that I normally ignore walking into the grocery store, I signed my family up to be those people.
Okay.
And none of them were very excited about it.
No. And I'm going to be honest. I'm like you. I don't like them at the grocery store. It's very annoying, irritating. It's just like, okay, guys, I give back in my own way. It's solicitation.
Right. Yeah, it is. But it was, as much as we dreaded going the first time, we did it a couple times last year. We actually ended up really liking it. And again, because we took a picture and I posted that we were outside of Publix and freezing our butts off and gave the bell to Ethan and Lorelai and made them do it. Nate and I kind of stood in the background.
Then so basically friends, you made your kids do your work.
Yeah, of course, because they need to they need to learn how to be kind and donate their time to other people. And I'm 40. I already know how to do that. So I, you know.
Yeah, you delegate it out.
Exactly. So they, Ethan's friends all showed up, man. Every single one of them showed up with money to donate. And it was nice to see them come out there and do it and take pictures and share on their Instagram so other people right. could come and give money. And some of the neighbors came up and gave money and said hi. So it was nice to do it
right.
and to be in the position of somebody that I always thought was annoying or what are these people doing here? And they're totally donating their time. I mean, yes. that's their time on a Monday night after work to go ring a fucking bell where people think you're annoying.
Yep. And you get all these looks and right. you get ignored, you know? Yeah. I can see yeah, yeah, that.
Yeah. yeah. So do you have, I have to plan our advent calendar for this December, which we'll talk a little bit more about because I don't know. Have you ever noticed that we do an advent calendar?
No.
It's kind of a big thing on my Facebook that all of my friends have enjoyed and that they've actually started for their own kids, which was kind mm-hmm. of nice to see how it's developed. So we'll share more about that.
The
later,
only but. Advent calendar I have ever done was the chocolate one as a child and the cheese one as an adult. That is it.
That's it. What about, have you seen the wine one? There's one with wine.
I know I saw that, but it sells out immediately at Aldi.
Yeah, see, we started off with a chocolate one, and this is before Lorelai was born, and Ethan got bored after, like, day six, and he was like, it's another piece of chocolate, Mama.
And right. Well, because the original thing behind the advent calendar was you were supposed to read a message from or a story from the Bible, and at the end you would get the chocolate or the treat, which is, oh. it was, that's why it's a childhood thing. You were supposed, it's a way to help engage children in the spirit of Christmas in the biblical sense.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, once he got bored is when I like took all the candy out and started filling it with like slips of, all right, well, we're coloring tonight or we're doing this tonight. And, every single night counting to Christmas, we did something, whether it was a Christmas play, a Christmas mm-hmm. carol, something like that.
Right.
And every single one of us enjoy it. It's a fun little countdown. But I didn't know it originally started off with Bible verses.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What about, do you know any random Thanksgiving facts?
No. No, I don't. Other than we eat turkey.
Mm-hmm.
We ate it with the pilgrims. That's about it. I'm hoping you have some random Thanksgiving facts over there because I'm fresh out.
I do. I've got an article here from allparenting.com and it's 20 fun Thanksgiving facts that will totally impress your kids, which I don't know how simple-minded these people's kids are, but my kids aren't going to be impressed from this list. I'm just warning you guys.
Okay. Good Lord. So we're not going to be impressed.
So this was the first fact. The first Thanksgiving was held in the autumn of 1962. It included 50 pilgrims and 90 Indians and lasted 3 days.
Wait. Would you please reread that? Did you say 1962?
1621.
Okay, I literally thought you said the first Thanksgiving was in 1962.
Did I?
Yes. That's why I'm like, what the fuck?
That number is not even written on here. Do I have, what's that thing called?
Dyslexia?
Dyslexia?
Maybe.
That number is not written on here anywhere. That is the most random fucking number. What number
was it?
Is that?
16, six, you said 1962.
I'm going to look up what happened in 1962.
Yes.
Something's wrong with my brain. Maybe it's not firing correctly.
Apparently. Well, you said 1661, right?
1621.
Yeah, I have no idea. I can't even help you on that one.
I know. So look, this is what else it says. So there's 50 pilgrims, 90 fucking Indians, and only 5 women were present there.
Well, yeah, not many women were allowed to come on the boat. Because at that time, didn't you, you knew that it was considered bad luck for a woman to be on a vessel.
Well, then I have a question. Who fucking cleaned up afterwards?
It never got cleaned. They're dirty motherfuckers. The Indian women.
So you're saying, so there's still trash left around from this first Thanksgiving.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there is. But we call it artifacts now.
Right. That's my question here is when it says only 5 women, I wrote, who cooked and who fucking cleaned?
And it's sad that we have to ask that question and we automatically assumed it was the women.
I bet they regretted that decision. There were definitely fucking women on the invite list the next year.
Well, that's... And now I wonder if that included any servants.
They didn't have fucking servants. They were barely getting by back then.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this is like prehistoric. I mean, this is like basic fucking pilgrims.
All right. Well, you never know because they had money over from the Brits when coming over. Or wait,
yeah. They did come over. I don't think...
Because they had to have money. You had to have been rich in order to get on the vessel if you were not a work staff, like, of the boat.
Don't think that's true.
Well, go ahead and Google it.
And I don't think that's true.
I'm just telling you.
We're going to have to take a history lesson. But I think that most of the people on those boats were farmers. They were all something to come here and build a new land. The only person that truly had money was, say, like the governor of whatever the colony was going to be. Like the queen had sent one person over to be in charge, but everybody else was there to build and forage and harvest and create this new world. I don't think that they had money.
I think they had to have money to get on that ship.
No, see, I think they were employees to the queen and not individual rich people coming over here, because I think that the wealthier people probably came once these settlements were established.
Okay.
But they weren't coming to live in. Yeah. I don't think they were coming to live in the woods. That once they built it, then yes, they had money.
Built it and they will come.
Exactly right. Yeah. And most of this in my mind is coming from A, the movie Pocahontas.
Oh,
and,
good Lord.
And B, every fucking field trip I took to Jamestown growing up in Virginia. Did you have to go there?
All the time. Yep.
I fucking loved it.
It was great. We went to Williamsburg too all the time.
I take my kids there. We've been at least 2 or 3 times. My first kiss happened in the chapel at Jamestown.
Ooh.
I tricked
this naughty, naughty girl.
I know. I was in elementary school and tricked this kid named Tyrone or something like that into like telling him a secret. And I kissed him on the cheek. Dirty Aww. Little slutty fifth grader.
Yeah, you are.
In the church.
In the church.
Jamestown, yeah, in the Jamestown settlement.
Woo! You got a lot of makeup for, don't you?
I know, right? A lot of prayers. So it said Thanksgiving didn't become a national holiday until over 200 years later. It was actually a woman, Sarah Hale, who wrote the song Mary Had a Little Lamb that convinced President Lincoln in 1863 to create Thanksgiving as a national holiday. But it took her 17 years of writing him letters to convince him to do that.
Wow. 17
years. That's determination.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Now, I wonder if Little Miss Mary Had a Little Lamb cooked her first Thanksgiving dinner and then was like, this was a terrible fucking idea.
Probably not, because I'm sure Miss Mary Had a Little Lamb had servants cooking that meal for her.
Right. You know, her husband was like, bitch, this is what you asked for.
Right.
You're cleaning it up.
No.
You got what you wanted.
No. She was having somebody else do it.
I've heard this a million times. There was no turkey on the menu for the first Thanksgiving. There was deer, ducks, geese, oysters, yep. lobsters, eels, fish, probably pumpkin, but not pumpkin pie.
Lobsters?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's Chesapeake Bay, right? I mean.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Wait. Where was the first Thanksgiving?
I don't know.
I'm assuming Virginia just because I love Virginia.
But they landed in Massachusetts, didn't they?
Yeah, in
Plymouth Rock.
Yeah.
Maybe there was lobster.
Oh, yeah, if it's up in New England. I'm looking it up, man. I'm looking it up.
Oh, my goodness.
Plymouth
Rock. See, I was right.
Woo! Yeah.
Tabby Woo! Knows her history just a little
That's
bit.
That's right.
I remember fifth grade history.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense then, right, for the lobster.
Yes.
They should have definitely gotten a turkey, though. I mean, I'm glad we're not eating eel.
Yeah.
As our tradition.
No, and I'm sure the reason why they ended up choosing turkey is probably because it's a relatively cheap bird to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And it does provide a lot of meat for the big family. So,
oh, yeah.
And it's not chicken.
Well, did you know that, where is it? How many, like the largest fucking turkey, it was on here. The average size turkey is 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
That only the male turkey gobbles.
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yes. Well, remember, we raised a few turkeys and ate one for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you, what about, you eat the males. You don't eat the female. Females are too small.
What do you do with the females?
You use them to breed.
Motherfuckers, just
fucking
them left and right. wait, do turkeys have sex?
Yes, turkeys have sex.
Oh, what does it look like? What does it look like? What does it look like? I need to know.
I don't know what turkeys look
like. Do they hump like this?
Not like this. Oh my God, Sabrina.
I need to see it in my head.
You need to Google it. I don't know how they...
I'm about to.
I'm sure it's very similar to how chickens do it. You know chickens hump, right?
No, I didn't know that. I'm Googling turkey fucking right now.
Chickens, the rooster will jump on top of the chicken and like hold her down by her neck and then will go penetrate and...
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next time the chickens on your farm are having sex, will you take a picture of it?
There has to be a rooster. Well, no, there has to be a rooster. Female chickens just don't fuck each other.
What does a chicken penis look like?
I can't remember if it's the duck or the chicken, but Pam told me one of them is like an electric screwdriver, and it goes pew.
So he's drilling the fuck out of her.
Right. And so I can't remember if chickens just rub.
Is that what makes the cavity in a chicken?
Right. So like, I don't remember if it's the chickens. I think it's the chickens that just basically rub and the semen goes down into the vagina. If they have vagina, I guess. And then ducks are the ones that go pew. Now, we had a duck that we had to kill because he kept fucking our chickens. Yeah.
What?
He was a chicken fucker.
He was a rapist. You had a serial rapist on your farm.
We did. He was a duck fucking a chicken.
What the fuck?
Literally. I mean.
Yeah. What do you do? Do you have to sit him down and talk to him? You had to kill him.
Obviously. We had to kill him.
I mean, that's. Yeah, he's dead.
He's dead. Because the chickens were losing all their hair and getting stressed out. I mean, and he was chasing them around, trying to get them. The chickens had to, like, hop up into a tree to get away from the duck.
I can't. I'm about to lose my shit. That is literally, I can't even imagine watching all this shit go down of the fucking... toxic masculinity of a duck that thinks he can just fuck any chicken that's walking around. And the fact that now your chickens are suffering from anxiety, PTSD. Uh-huh. They've got all, they're losing their fucking hair.
They lose their feathers. And when chickens are stressed out like that, they won't lay eggs.
What the hell? So they just completely shut down.
Yeah, pretty much. And so you got to calm them down, get them back up, you know, then they'll be fine.
Do chickens make noises when they're having sex?
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I know they make noise when they're laying an egg. You know, you hear that cluck, 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 noise. That's her laying an egg.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
What would you assume they sound like when they were fucking? Like, if I, let me think of it in my head. How does a chicken sound? Cluck, 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 cluck. How do you start to, I'm trying to have a clucking orgasm. Cluck, 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 or something. Like, right? I mean, what happens?
I don't know.
But the I don't sick think curiosity in me needs to know. I need I to know what chicken porn sounds like.
Oh my gosh, you're going to have to look it up. That's going to be your homework. And next week you need to tell me what chicken porn sounds like.
I Googled chicken duck or chicken penises and it wasn't pretty. And I looked up turkey fucking, which showed me a bunch of pictures of humans fucking turkeys. So I have regrets already. That's why I didn't share what I found.
Google has fucked you over for life.
Right, right. Wow. I might be having a vegetarian Thanksgiving dinner now after seeing a dad bod penis with a fucking turkey getting, you know, drilled in. Right. Right. It's disgusting.
He based the turkey for you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
If a duck fucks a chicken successfully, can he impregnate her?
I don't think so. I've never heard species, of a cross between. Same. I've never heard of a cross between a duck and a chicken. So,
yeah, weird.
Very
strange. You ever think? I heard this the other day that it will become normal for people to fuck animals.
No. That's wrong.
I don't know why I think about this stuff, but like the world has changed so much since I was born. Of what's like. Okay in this world,
right,
that what one day will it be okay if you fall madly and deeply in love with your dog and want to fuck the shit out of her?
No, that's when you belong in a mental institution. Sorry.
I know. This is the way my brain works and the disgusting things I think of. And
I worry for your brain.
Yeah, you should, for sure. You know how people say that turkeys cause drowsiness?
Yeah, the trichomy or... Yeah, I know I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah, I don't know how... I know the words you're trying to say. It's not in this article, but it says that it actually isn't responsible for it. That no. Scientists say that it's actually the extra glasses of wine and that hard calorie meal and relaxing after... the busyness of Thanksgiving. So you fill your stomach up, you've got wine, you've got a very heavy calorie meal, and then you finally sit down.
And you're like, oh.
And you pass the fuck out.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it that makes a lot of sense to me. Americans eat 46 million turkeys each Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And did you know the president pardons a turkey every year?
Yes.
Well, that's so funny.
Yeah, they pardon a turkey. That turkey gets saved. But that only that year, because that doesn't mean the turkey doesn't make it till the next year.
Oh, yeah, because look at this. What? The president, it says, the first turkey pardon was by Truman in 1947. Obama pardoned a 45-pound turkey named Courage, who was then flown to Disneyland and served as Grand Marshal as the park's Thanksgiving Day parade. Now, I wonder if Courage's fucking turkey leg showed up in the fucking forest land of Disneyland and they sold that fucker for $12.
Probably so.
So that's because they're not going to keep all these turkeys alive. Somebody ate them.
No, because where are all those turkeys? Are they alive? Right. Did they die naturally?
No, they definitely ate them. You only get a pardon for one day.
I'm just saying, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
Speaking of Facebook memes, have you seen the Facebook meme going around the lady screaming?
Yes. And the cat.
And the cat.
Yes, I love it.
What is the fucking deal with that?
I don't know, but it's so funny. And I've seen it, like, change so many different times. But just her screaming, the cat's like, fuck you, bitch.
I mean,
it's just, it's awesome.
So this is the thing that, like, I don't understand where it came from all of a sudden. Because you know the meme on the left, the lady actually screaming. Now, you wouldn't know this because you don't watch reality TV. But that is Taylor Armstrong from Real Housewife of Beverly Hills. And that's an image from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how all of a sudden it appeared next to this fucking cat. And I read the art, like I Googled it and read an interview with her.
Uh-huh.
And even them saying like they don't know how it happened, but once it happened, it fucking took off.
It's not that hard. Someone took a picture of her and then took a picture of a fucking cat, put the two pictures together and wrote some shit on the top of it.
So you want to hear the morbid part of it?
Oh, boy.
So what she was actually screaming at.
Uh-huh.
Was somebody talking about her soon to be ex-husband. And so she was telling them to shut their mouth and stop talking.
Right.
And about a year later, her ex-husband committed suicide and killed himself.
Oh, geez.
So then it goes into this thing about how now it's resurfaced 10 years later, right? The whole world thinks it's hilarious because the memes are hilarious.
Right.
But to the lady in the picture who most of the world doesn't know about.
Right.
Unless you were a Real Housewives fan 10 years ago, how triggering that is for her.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, hate to rain on somebody's, on all of our parade that we're laughing at it, but it kind of like the social media and the way that things go viral are usually at somebody's expense.
Yeah.
And where the cat doesn't have any feelings, right? The cat doesn't have any skin in this game, but the crazy lady on the left.
I mean, I can see, you know, I can totally understand that. And it, you know, and it's sad and what she went through. And then I'm sure that photo was, you know, a harsh reminder, but there's probably a million and one photos of her that would be a harsh reminder of her, you know, ex-husband. I mean, she's got a social platform that's huge, you know?
Right. And it's not like when, when that moment happened 10 years ago, it was such a big moment that there were screenshots going around, just from the fans where now it's become, and quite honestly, maybe somebody like that might look at this as an opportunity to be back in the forefront, right? Because she left the show and had disappeared that, now everybody knows who that image is. They don't know who she is, but her image
is right there.
Blew up.
Yep. And so she can use that to her advantage.
Right, which she probably will.
So I'm not feeling super sorry.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, What are you guys doing this week for Thanksgiving? You guys taking some time off?
We are. So because my mom just purchased a new home, she wants to have Thanksgiving at her house. And after last year, I am more than willing to go and bring a dish or two to her house and have Thanksgiving there.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Because...
Go ahead.
No, because I'm just... Because after last year, cooking for all the people and the running around and creating the menu and all of that sort of stuff and then decorating the house, I'm just like, nope, I'm good.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you bringing to Thanksgiving dinner, or are you not?
We are. So we're going to make Dion's sweet potato souffle.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You remember how yummy that was. Mm-hmm. That's like his specialty. It's almost a dessert. Potatoes.
Yeah, I love sweet potatoes.
And then we're going to take that and then we're going to make a dessert. We're probably going to bring Pam's homemade turtle cheesecake.
Mmm.
Yep. Family recipe. She won't give it out.
Oh, she won't?
No.
That's funny.
Yep. So that's probably what we're going to do. And then we're going to drive an hour to my mom's house and have dinner out there.
Are you guys staying the night out there or coming back home?
No, we're coming home. We have four dogs.
Yeah. And then what about your Christmas tree? Do you guys put that up the next day or what do you guys?
Yes. Yeah, so I like to do all the Christmas decorations day after Thanksgiving.
Okay. So,
yep. And Dion's all like, he hates decorating for Christmas.
So we, I love decorating for Christmas. I hate taking down. Yeah. For Christmas. So we were going to decorate our tree this week, actually, because.
Because you're going to be gone.
Yeah, because we're going to be gone. And so then by the time we come back, like, I like when the tree is up. I like when the lights are up. I like how the house looks. We've got the village up. I like watching TV with the lights off and just the Christmas tree lit up. I love it. So I was like, all right, who's on board? Everybody wants to decorate. We all said yes. And then realized we didn't have a Christmas tree.
Oh, geez.
What? Because
do you guys use a real one?
Right. 2 years ago, our neighbors got a beautiful real Christmas tree and she had decorated and we had pulled out our old Christmas tree, and by that time, you know, when the Christmas tree becomes a certain age and you got to start fluffing it and some of the lights aren't working on it, so now you got to fill it in. And we were doing all of that in the middle of decorating and nobody wanted to do it. And so I just said, and Erica had said, like, you guys should just buy a real tree. And I looked at Nate and I was like, you want to do it? And he grabbed the fucking tree, dragged it out of the house. Put it on the fucking curb. Him and Ethan and Ethan's friend Nick was here, and who was our little adopted son, and went and bought a real tree. And so now we can't. If I buy a tree now, it's definitely going to die.
Yes. And if you go to buy a fake tree, it's going to be really fucking expensive right now.
It's going to be super expensive. So we can't decorate until we get back from New York, but that's all right. Maybe I'll just keep it up a little extra longer.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, you know, you're not going to decorate as soon as you get home. You're going to end up waiting like another week because you're going to be so tired from almost dying in New York.
Dude, I'm totally dying from the cold weather.
You are not dying from New York.
I can't tell you how much. I've spent $1,000 on winter clothing for our trip.
I know. You mentioned that last time. It's crazy.
Yeah, because I can't let it go. I cannot let it go.
Yeah, you spent almost as much.
I'm not
going
to see a return on that money.
No, you're not. And that money is literally almost as much as all the airline tickets.
It is. I know. So, hey, I have a game for you. I want to know if you want to play it this December and see if our listeners want to play it too. We play Whamageddon.
What the hell is that?
So I'm going to play the song. So do you know who Wham is? Do you know who Wham is?
I'm giving you the look, Sabrina.
All right. So, well, you know this song, right?
Yes. Okay. That's Jitterbug. That's George Michael.
Yeah. So it's George Michael, with the group Wham. That's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, but oops, how do I stop that playing? Let's see. Wham, Last Christmas. So the game is called Whamageddon.
Okay.
And the goal is to make it through December 1st.
Oh, without hearing a certain song, right?
Yes, without hearing the Wham version of Last Christmas, which happens to be my favorite Christmas song, by the way. So I hate that part of it, but I'm all about the game. So this is the song. Let's see if it'll... I was going to say fast forward. I really am getting old.
Christmas, I gave you my heart.
Yeah, this song.
Okay.
It has to be the Wham version.
But what's the Wham version? I don't hear the difference.
Well, you'll be able to tell. Like, some other celebrities try to do, like, there'll be a girl singing it or somebody else. But in order to get knocked out by Whamageddon, you have to hear the Wham version of Last Christmas. So that includes anywhere out in public. So from December 1st till Christmas morning, you have to be aware of your surroundings, because every fucking grocery store, department store, easy tempo radio station, a friend's Christmas party, you are in the danger zone, right?
Okay, so if someone starts playing it, and just hear a note, you're out.
Yeah, if you recognize it in your head, you're out. Like, so Ethan got out by his teacher was playing Christmas music in his English class.
Right.
And it came on, and there was no getting away from it. I walked around in department stores with my headphones on, listening to music, because I didn't want to hear it. And one day I forgot my earphones. So then I'm walking around with my phone up here to my ear playing music, because Publix plays Christmas music.
Right.
So Nate and I made it to Christmas morning. Our kids didn't. I think my sister-in-law Marie knocked Lorelai out by accident playing Christmas music while baking cookies. So, like, we gave up Christmas songs in this house for the whole month.
Oh, my gosh.
None of us were willing to lose. But then on Christmas morning, we played the song over and over again.
No, I'm not playing.
You don't want to play?
No, I don't, because I like my Christmas carols. And even the station that starts playing 24/7 Christmas songs, I'm fucking listening to that as I'm driving. I'm like, I love my... No. No, I wouldn't last a day.
You'd be out. So
I would.
I'm playing it. I want other people to play it. Message me. Reach out on Instagram or Facebook. Let us know if you're in for Whamageddon. Maybe we'll create a hashtag for, like, Whamageddon, not a safe space or something like that. And so that we can all keep track. Let us know when you get knocked out and how you got knocked out.
Yes. And then, hey, guys, message us and let us know that you're playing.
Yeah, so we know, and we can keep track and see how you successfully got away from a possible Whamageddon moment.
All right. Oh, that'd be fun. I'd love to hear the story of you dropping everything in public, so running out of the store like a mad person.
Right. Like, they must have thought I looked so crazy just keeping the speaker up to my phone and trying to keep this ear. And I was walking so fast of, like, I need... Like, to get out. I need to get what I need and get the fuck out of here before
that
song comes on.
They probably thought you had special needs.
Probably. At all times, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's
but
definitely an issue.
Everybody, before you go ahead and tell us that you're playing Whamageddon, go ahead. Did I say that right?
Whamageddon.
Yes. So before you do that, make sure you subscribe to us on either Apple or Google Play, and make sure to rate and review us, too.
For sure. For sure. And... let's get this game going. So it starts November 1st, or December 1st, excuse me.
I was going to say, holy shit, that's a long time.
No. Starts December 1st, ends Christmas morning. Only the Wham version counts, so it could be any other version. If you just have to listen to the song through the Christmas time. And let's do it and see if we make it. I've made it the last 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm disciplined about it. I'm disciplined.
I can tell. You're very into this game.
Listen, my life is pretty basic.
I know, because we've determined you are a basic bitch.
Listen, this has become a topic of discussion in my life.
About how basic you are?
Well, that you are so against being a basic bitch.
Right.
And that you like to point out how basic I am. I actually had a discussion with two other people about it yesterday.
And what did they say? That you were very basic?
Well, no, but they were like, Tabby's so against being basic.
Yes.
Why?
Because I don't want to do the things that everybody else does. There's no fun in that. Like, so let me, I'm going to tell you what happened. So, you know, I got you a gift for the holiday party, right? So I'm walking around the store going, well, what do I get a basic bitch, but isn't basic because I can't buy basic shit? So I had a hard time buying some shit.
So that you weren't basic.
Yes.
Now, question.
Okay.
Do you think that it says more that you're trying not to be so basic because now it's in your head rather than just going with the flow?
No. I'm just, no. Because I've never been basic. I've always been weird.
Right. So what is the negativity attached to basic bitch for you?
That everybody does it.
Everybody. And let me, go ahead.
No, I was yelling at the dog. You're good.
Oh, yeah. I can see her. Do you think that, let's just go based on my wardrobe, that my wardrobe is a classic basic bitch?
No, see, I disagree. Your wardrobe is not a classic basic bitch. Your wardrobe is classic.
Right. And
there is a complete difference between being classy and being a basic bitch. Uh-huh. Going to Starbucks and be like, oh, look, I got a Starbucks cup. Oh, my God. Yeah, go fuck off. I can't do that. They fucking overpaid. You overpaid. It's full of sugar and it's killing you all at the same time. And you're like, but I'm so happy about it.
Did you see what I posted this morning?
No.
I should have tagged you in it. Look, can you see that?
What is that? Embracing. It disappeared.
It says, embracing our basicness with the soon-to-be bride. I went out and grabbed my neighbor and I some Starbucks this morning as I ran out and slid on my Uggs. So I took a picture of my Starbucks coffee cup next to my Uggs, or my Fugs, my fake Uggs.
I have never owned a pair of Uggs in my entire life.
Literally the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn.
No, I've never owned
them. You'll never catch me. So this is the thing. Like, I got into a deep conversation yesterday about basic bitchness and what it means. And so, or what it means to some people. And like, I like what I like. So I like clothes and I like fashion and I like certain things. And when I see something, I'm either all in or I'm out. Like if I don't like it, I'm just not fucking into it and I'm not going to buy it. And it doesn't matter how many times people try to tell me how cool it is or how great it is, I'm not doing it. However, if I like it, I'm fucking in and I'm going to buy it in every fucking color possible. Now, the fashion person in me believes that Uggs are hideous. They are the ugliest fucking shoe you can ever imagine. They are not flattering on somebody who has a size nine shoe, but it's so warm and comfortable in the inside. And it's like slipping your foot into a big fluffy pillow. And there is nothing better for me when fall comes around because I don't wear socks and I like to slip them on in the morning when I have my pajamas on, or I have them on right now because I'm freezing cold. Or out back in my yard where you'll never find me is like, we're never going out to dinner and I'm wearing my Uggs. Never. Oh, or right. Fugs. Like I'll freeze my ass off and get one of my cute pairs of fucking shoes and wear them out. But when I come home, I'm putting these fucking Uggs back on.
Right.
So like, I like what I like and the trendy, and it even made me go and look up the definition of basic bitch because we've mentioned it so many times that it's defined as the person that buys all the trendy stuff and that's all they do, which if I like it, I'm in. I can't deny that.
Right.
So are you not the same way? Do you not see, like, if all of a sudden, I don't know, a color becomes popular, a style of clothes becomes popular, you don't shop based on that? Or how do you shop?
I shop based off of what I like, whether it's trendy or not. If it happens to be trending, great, but I'm not. But like, so let's say, for instance, turtlenecks become trendy in Florida. Right?
Yeah, I'm down. Actually, I'm looking for a mock turtleneck, by the way. So I'm down.
And this is my point. I don't like turtlenecks.
Right.
Don't ever. You will never. If I'm in a turtleneck, it is because it is fucking cold and I don't have an option. But I'm not going out and buying a turtleneck because it's trendy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let's say, what's something I like? I like a bohemian style, like a very comfy, you know, flowy kind of thing. If that becomes popular, again, I'm not buying it because it's trending. I'm buying it because I like it.
Right.
So yeah, I don't care what's trendy. What's trendy does not have an effect on what I buy or don't buy.
Mm-hmm. I think that the way that I shop for my clothes or anything is that I definitely, first of all, look at the trends, but I'm also looking forward of what's coming. Like, I actually think way too much about what I wear outside mm-hmm. of my house. Like right now I'm in sweatpants and jeans. I don't care. Or sweatshirts and jeans. But I do look at trends mm-hmm. because I don't know. It's just the way that I dress, but I'm not looking to chase a trend. If I don't like it, it's not going to fucking happen. And I'm not doing it because everybody else is wearing it, because I really try to wear it in a different way or be, I don't know. Like, I absolutely love the way I dress.
You do. And you dress awesome. Where, like, I don't, you know, you see me, I don't dress cute. I don't dress awesome. Dion has to help me. I'm horrible with clothes. I fucking admit it. So even if I go and I see something trendy and I'm like, oh, that's cute, but you're never going to get me in it. So no, that's why I'm like, I'm not a basic bitch.
Just psychologically, it's interesting to me why you're so against it. Against like the term. Like, I can tell you don't want to be labeled it at all.
Nope.
Where it literally doesn't bother. I'm like, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And you love it. And that's great. But for me, I'm like,
No, I mean, it's not that I love it. I just don't mind it. But I could tell that you don't like it at all. It's
because
so funny.
I don't want to be, I am not like everybody else. I am very different. I'm quirky and I'm weird and I say shit that you're not supposed to say. And I'm just straight up me. I am Tabby. That's it. You like it? That's great. If you don't, fuck off. I don't give a shit. Right?
Right.
But I'm not trying to be like everybody else out there and become an Instagram star. And most of those people that are Instagram famous and stuff, they're basic ass bitches. They all do the same fucking thing. They wear the same clothes. They wear the same makeup. They take the same fucking poses. You know, do the same. And it's just so redundant. And I'm just like, I can't.
Right.
And you know what I mean?
So when you're referring to me as a basic bitch, do you think that I'm redundant and following those same patterns?
Or then how does... Not in a negative, not in a bad way, 'cause
yeah, no. I'm totally involved. Like, this doesn't bother me at all. Like, at all. I just, like, I'm interested in your adversity to it more than, because I don't mind the title.
Okay, right.
That doesn't bother me, but I'm more curious about your adversity to it. That sparks an interest in me and makes me giggle every time you say something about my basicness, because I know how much you don't want to be basic.
Right. So it's very much like the crew ball, right?
Right.
Do you remember how pissed off I was? There were three other fucking women there, one at our table, that had the exact same dress on.
I know.
I was so mad.
That would have ruined my night.
And it almost did.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone was trying to tell me, oh, you should feel flattered and da da da. I'm like, I don't feel flattered. These people didn't go buy the dress because I bought it, because they didn't even know I bought it. We all just happened to be short and shopped at the damn same store. So here I am walking around like a basic bitch with all these same dresses. And that's, I mean, no.
So how are you going to avoid that this year?
Going to fucking fly to Georgia or somewhere and buy a dress.
Right. Right.
Wait. Here, you want to know what's bad? We went up to Atlanta a couple weeks ago. I took some girls out shopping, and I decided to look for some dresses because it was in Georgia, right? And maybe Dillard's in Georgia, in Atlanta, had that same fucking dress.
That makes me laugh. And it's even better that they still have it a year later, because that would get on my nerves.
Oh, they'll probably have it forever. I'm like, because, oh my God.
Because of Tabby's height, she has to shop in the petite section.
Right.
So then that limits too, like the dresses.
Yes. Right. The selection is extremely small. And then it's a nightmare.
How are you going to overcome that?
I don't know. I'm probably going to have to suck it up and get like a normal dress and then have it altered.
Well, see, that was the good thing, though, about the way that you all wore that dress. I will say that is that every single one of the ladies wore it differently and accessorized it differently. Some of them like overdid it with the necklace line. You didn't wear the sleeves the way that the dress was intended to. So like, I thought that you wore it the best. You didn't
overkill,
you know, accessorize yourself, where each one wore it differently. One wore it exactly how it came off the fucking rack. So I like that part of it.
So I'm just going to be real. You know how I wore my sleeves differently?
Uh-huh.
It's because I didn't know how to put the dress on.
But still, that works.
Right. But I was like, oh, okay, I guess this is how it goes.
Right. Because I think, you know, at least when it comes to fashion and kind of following trends, right, what I appreciate more if somebody can take a trend and then make it to their own.
Okay, right.
Right? Like, I mean, even though, like, I've got some text messages I'm going to send you of my Pinterest board, because you remember we talked about Pinterest before, and you said yes. Pinterest closets don't equal somebody else's closet.
Right.
And I said mine did, and I actually have proof of that now, because I've gone on a couple business trips and sent it to my neighbor yesterday, and she was dying about how I've changed these outfits and followed Pinterest. So it's like, I don't like when every single girl looks the same way. Like what you're saying, like if you look at five girlfriends and they're all in Uggs and they're all in black sweatpants and they're all in the tunic and they're all in the scarf thing and they're all carrying their Starbucks and they all have whatever the, it, I get that part where I'm like, that takes zero creativity, when to me, fashion means a lot more to me than that.
Right. And so that's why I'm saying your fashion is not basic bitch. Your fashion is classic. Oh, and there's a difference.
Right. Well, I'm going to text you these pictures while we're on the phone, so I get your real time opinion of how insane I am about my clothes. Okay. But I just love, I get a giggle of it every single time you call me a basic bitch, but it's been funny to hear our listeners. Where on the last episode, when I said something about my tattoo, and instantly you're like, basic, basic. And they were like, I can't remember who said it to me, but they were like, she is really against basic bitch. And I was like, she is, but it's interesting, and wanted to know where that came from.
But see, I don't find these outfits to be basic. I like these outfits. But like, this is stuff I would wear if I was, well, a skinny bitch like you, but
Isn't that crazy? Like the Pinterest picture and then my picture and then the Pinterest.
It's like, pretty damn accurate. And
it's so annoying.
But like those type of pictures are the same things that I would pick off of Pinterest, right? And my boards or whatever. However long ago I was on Pinterest, because I'm never on it anymore.
Right.
But I would never wear anything like that.
Right.
I don't, you know, you're still, so my wardrobe isn't cute like that anymore. I don't go in front of clients and I don't go out. Yeah. I mean, I live in a small town. Jeans, t-shirt, a cool jacket, and some accessories. That's it.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I kind of love it. And I'm like embracing my basicness and in embracing everything that kind of comes with being a basic bitch. I feel like the title basic bitch takes some weight off my shoulders. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
It does. Like if I decide to leave the house all comfy and cozy, I can just say, hey, I'm basic.
Right. Right?
I'm in my leggings and Uggs and, ask my co-host Tabby. I'm a basic bitch. So there you get off go. My case. Right. So like I've embraced it.
Where I'm like,
you're so against it.
I'm so against it. If I walk outside of my house in sweatpants and a t-shirt, I'm not being basic. Screw you. I'm being Tabby. Fuck that.
Right. I love it. I love it. I love the yin and yang of it. And the psychology. Like, we have, like, the diving into the why. Like, you know, that the why behind. It, for me, it's a release. Why I embrace it, it's a release right. of like, oh, okay, cool. I get to try a little less.
Right. And for me, I'm right? just like, I try less because that's me.
Do you right. know what I mean? And like, you don't want to be anybody else. You want to be unique and you don't want to follow in these, you know, in what I would call like the cattle herd. And right. I find like I am, if we're thinking about a cattle herd, I follow along with the cattle herd, but I'm that cow that wanders off to the right-hand side
every now and then,
and
right.
is walking and has to be wrangled back in and then walk to the left-hand side and wrangled back in.
And sometimes the basicness puts more pressure. Like, for example, the fingernail polish, right? Like, you're uh-huh. so critical on yourself and other people about making sure your nails are so, you know, all nice and cute or whatever. And I'm like, fuck it. My nails are what they are. I don't care.
Do you have nail polish on today?
I do, but it's chipped. Straight up chipped. Right there. Look, nice. Look.
Nice. Well, I think it's...
You know, I mean...
I think it's great. And I think, you know, it's... to our listeners and the people that have reached out, like, it's... I think... It's funny that it's almost come up in every episode that it's going, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to be affiliated to it without wanting to be.
Well, that's because you're my friend and you're my co-host. So I'm kind of stuck with your basic bitchness.
You are. You are.
Pretty much.
But by mentioning it, you're going to get tagged with it. I mean, like, if as we're long, 300.
Okay. I can get tagged with it. Just don't associate me with it.
Right. I'm going to buy you a mug that says basic AF. Because there's nothing more basic than using the term AF either, in my opinion.
I don't ever use that term. It's not AF. It's as fuck. Fucking say it. Don't be a pussy. Straight up. See, right. that is why I am not basic.
I love it. I love it. So, in conclusion...
You're basic and I'm not.
That's right. There you go. There you go. So, well, that's all I have, really.
Yeah.
I really like to just, again, remind everybody, I know this is coming out a couple of days before Thanksgiving, to maybe listen to our podcast as you're cooking your Thanksgiving dinner. And no, time out. Don't even do that.
No, don't do that. Yeah. Children are in the house. Nope. Sorry.
Not even for that reason, but just... turn it off. Digitally unplug yourself.
Yes.
And enjoy the moment of that craziness while you're cooking. Don't forget to defrost your turkeys, ladies and gentlemen. I know that's always a problem for people. Take it out 2 to 3 days beforehand. Give it a little turkey bath. like my dad used to do, and defrost those fuckers.
Because Chinese food is not necessarily the greatest substitute for a Thanksgiving dinner.
That's true. Which we talked about last night, too. My family's totally down for Chinese food for Thanksgiving in New York. We'll see where we end up.
Okay, well, that's different. You're going to be in New York. You can actually go to a really good Chinese restaurant there.
Right. So let's defrost your turkeys. Remember to turn on your oven. I had a friend that one year didn't turn on her oven, and their mom went to go check the fucking turkey 6 hours later, and it was still cold. And please take the challenge of saying thank you. Send two people a card just to say thank you for the times that you've had with them or what your friendship means to them. We are thankful for all of you. If we had made the homework six items, you guys definitely would have been our sixth item. Yes. We are thankful for all of our listeners.
Yes, we are. We are very, very thankful for all the love and the support, because without you guys, we would just be fucking talking to each other.
That's right. And hey, what countries are we in too? Like, you're going to...
Oh, so when we looked up the numbers, well, Dion did it because, you know, I don't ever look at our numbers. He does it for me, which is awesome. We had somebody it was in the UK. We had someone in Switzerland, Ireland, China, Vietnam, and the Dominican Republic.
Goodness gracious. So.
Holy cow. You guys are listening everywhere.
We need to learn how to.
You got to work on your basic bitchness.
Yeah, no, we need to learn how to say Merry Christmas in every single one of those languages.
That'd be kind of cool. We should definitely do that.
We should.
And it has to be Merry Christmas, not this Happy Holiday bullshit.
Oh, yeah. So I'll take the one that says Feliz Navidad.
Okay. You're a basic bitch and you just fucking cheat it.
Right. I know. So text me later and give me the country that I need to learn from that list, and I will learn how to say it. By the time we air again, Whimageddon will be 2 days in. Don't fuck it up, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in, let us know that you're in.
Yep.
If you are team basic bitch, let us know that you're in. If you are team not basic bitch, I want to hear why. No,
I'm sorry. I need a different team name than not basic bitch, because that in itself is a fucking basic bitch name.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
We'll keep working on that.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. So you guys have a lot of homework. Thank you cards. Be thankful. Show your gratitude. Take your time. Enjoy this week with your family. Don't fuck up Whamageddon. Download, rate, and review.
And we love y'all.
We love you guys. All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
And bye.
Bye.